Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us once again with the Sabbath, a day that you changed the showbread and give us a new understanding of truths that have been written in eternity. Thank you for blessing everyone in attendance and everyone on our prayer list, especially those that are lost. Thank you for being with us last night as we gathered for study and for blessing all those that we lifted up in prayer from the prayer list. Thank you for giving us focus and understanding and retention of that which is shared today. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And we pray, Father, that you accept this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Got a bunch of new people that registered this week. I don't know exactly where you're at in the chat room, but I do see Kurt on the bottom there. I want to welcome Kurt. And then I noticed the new one there, Zeph. Hopefully that's a real first name. We kind of have a thing about first names here. Because, well, you know. Anyway, for those of you that are new, if you want to follow along with the notes, just scroll underneath the chat room. I built the chat room into an actual web page. That way you can put the notes underneath it. And we're on question number 21, which kind of spills over from question 20, which I'll get into in a minute. But the question for number 21 is, to what class of people was he speaking? And that's, of course, in regards to what was going on in question number 20, where Paul was discussing things. In regards to, well, let's just go to Acts 20, verse 17, which it says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So it's not so much the people that sit in the pews that go forth to proclaim heresy as truth, as we just learned from the previous question in the study. Question 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 30 said plainly, also for your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And that's 2,000 years ago. I mean, your own selves, meaning the elders of the churches who he's talking to, will go forth to preach error. And have we not seen this for 2,000 years? Yeah, we have. This is why we see literally. We were talking about this last night, as a matter of fact. We see literally tens of thousands of denominational schisms in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why you got Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, SDAs, Presbyterians, Mennonites. I mean, it's just, and then all factions from there that spin off. I think someone said it was 40,000 different denominations or spin-offs from each church. And there's a reason for that. Satan fears the people of God because they are, in fact, the people of God. So, he does all he can to infiltrate and corrupt. That's why I like when you see John Wesley, for example, starts off preaching the truth, and the Wesleyans are being killed by the Catholic Church because they're out there doing the best they can. And then later on, after the killings end and stuff like that, after a few years, infiltration into the church, and now the Methodist Church, which was started by John Wesley, looks just like all the other churches that are mixed in with Catholicism. Just like the SDA church, when they came in the ninth hour that was prophesied in Matthew chapter 20, they too started, right off the bat, preaching the truth exactly the way it is said in the Word, and it's not a Jewish thing either, because a lot of people think, well, the SDAs went out there and they started doing, keep the Ten Commandments, and they understood prophecy, because that's what Revelation 14:12 said. They'll not only understand who Jesus is and worship Him as Savior, they'll also keep His law. And people always would, to try to counteract that because there's so many, different denominations out there that don't keep the law. So you got maybe 2 billion people saying that these people were cultish in nature because they're doing things the rest of the churches don't. But it was the same way in Noah's day. You had 8 people in the ark, and the Bible specifically stated that the only ones that were in the ark were actually walking with God. So usually, it's always been this case, especially in the last days, the remnant of her seed, the smallest church, is the one that walks with Christ. And there's a reason for that, too. It's just like when David ran towards Goliath. The entire nation of Israel was shaken in their boots because Goliath comes walking down the hill saying, send me a man that I may fight against him. But the Philistines, who Goliath was actually representing, knew just as well as all the Israelites knew, God fought for Israel. That's why Goliath said, send me a man that I may, because he didn't want to fight God. He knew he'd lose there. And for weeks this went on, and they all got scared, and then all of a sudden, one day he messed up. Goliath messed up. David happened to be in the neighborhood, heard what he said, and Morla said, who was this unclean Philistine that he should mock the Lord of hosts? So little puny David ran forth with those pebbles in his bag and threw the first one and got Goliath right between the eyes and killed him. And the other pebbles that were left in the bag were only because Goliath had brothers. They, of course, never showed up, but the fact of the matter is David thought that Goliath, because everybody knew who Goliath was in them days. I mean, it's not like you can hide something like that. A 9-foot-2-inch man walking around who was a fighter, and he had brothers that were crazy, everybody in the neighborhood knew who the guy was. And so, yeah, David had enough pebbles to take care of his entire family, but only Goliath had to be taken out, if you will. And so this has always been the case. Whenever the people of God go forward in the truth, the devil attacks to try and mix it all up to make it look like it's just a ball of confusion. But if you stay in the scriptures, you're safe. You don't have to worry about that because you just stay with the word. Yeah, they'll call you a legalist. They'll call you fanatics. They'll call you Jesus freaks, but who cares? When that eastern sky splits, they're going to say, we want to be fanatics. We want to be Jesus freaks, you know, because the only ones that are going to be going home when the Lord returns is going to be the ones they call Jesus freaks and fanatics and whatnot. But anyway, as I was saying, in regards to this infiltration that Paul's talking about here in the book of Acts, even here in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, we have seen one that claimed to be an elder. Just exactly, I mean, this is why he's talking to elders now, because, I mean, look what happened 2,000 years ago with the Pharisees. If it wasn't for the Pharisees, if it wasn't for the leaders of the church, that's who the Pharisees were, because Paul used to be a Pharisee, then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was going to go kill some Christians or jail them or whatever. And, of course, Jesus made himself known to Paul. And then he gave up his religion and followed Christ. But if it wasn't for the Pharisees, every Jew would probably have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord when he stepped into our neighborhood for 2,000 years ago for those 3.5 years. But because of the leaders denying him and twisting everything he said and lying about his truth, the majority of the people, just like the prophecy said, would not accept him as Messiah. And so they walked away. Well, same thing happens today. You got a lot of preachers out there, and that's again why you see 30 or 40,000 denominations calling themselves Christians, because that's the church that scares the devil. But look at Islam. You got one or two factions. Buddha, one. Zoroastrians, one. Satanists? Well, of course, just one. Because he's already got them. There's no threat. No one's coming up in the Satanic Church, or no one's coming up in the Zoroastrian churches proclaiming Christ Lord and you got to keep the Ten Commandments and so on and so forth. So he doesn't have to cause a schism. He doesn't have to throw a monkey wrench in the works. He doesn't have to worry about them. He's already got them. It's those pesky little Christians that keep coming up and starting these new reformations, if you will, that gets his blood up. And this is why the Christian church is the only church on the planet that has so many different denominations, because that's the one that he's afraid of. And so, yeah, even here in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, we have seen some, like the one that claimed to be an elder years ago. He stepped off the platform of truth to preach perverse things by the very fruits he displayed towards his own neighbor. That being the case, it would be wise for all of us to follow the teaching of 1 Corinthians 10:12, which is, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth. In other words, you think you're all that, you're walking with Christ, you can't be hurt. It says, take heed, lest ye fall. I mean, if an elder can fall into the arms of Satan to lead the flock astray, like we saw the Pharisees all the way up to our day do, so can any soul that refuses to stand obedient to his Lord. Piece of cake. Devil knows it. That's why he goes after him. Also keep in mind, this is why we see what was penned in Acts 17, verses 10 to 11, which says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and then did something that we all should be doing from that day forward. And most of us in this church family do, and this is why we're here. It says they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And it's all we've ever asked. People say, look, you got a problem with what we preach? Well, then do me a favor. The book of Proverbs even says, if you rebuke a righteous man, he'll love you for it. But if you rebuke someone who's evil, they're going to hate you for it. But the righteous man has the word in his hand. You show him what he's doing. If he's doing something wrong, that righteous man's going to change his ways. And of course, we understand what the term righteous man means. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. When the Father looks at us, he sees his Son if we're walking in obedience. And so, we're supposed to search the Scriptures daily. That's what keeps you safe. That's what keeps the armor of God on. That's what keeps those little darts from Satan from getting to you. And yeah, it's little darts that he can only send now because of what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. We can't be tempted in ways that we can't handle. That's a promise from our God, if we love our God. If we don't, well then yeah, any temptation that comes off the hoof of Satan is going to be easily, you know, taken. You're going to be easily taken by that because you don't have the armor of God on you. But notice it's still darts. The Bible calls them darts. Those are the smallest little knives you can find. Why? Well, how many of us, when we became Christians, realized how he changed us? It's like that one miracle I always say is the biggest miracle I've ever witnessed in my life, when God changed my mind 30, 31 years ago. Before, like for 18 months before that, I was reading the Bible. I was still Catholic, and I was trying to figure out how to stop this or stop that or stop this or stop that in my life. I was a mess. I was an idiot. And I couldn't stop. I wanted to stop all these things, but I couldn't. Every time I turn around, I just couldn't stop them. And then one day I met Christ. I was on my knees, and no, he didn't come in the room. You know what I mean? You met him. He became Savior. And he made it easy to, you know, handle those bad situations. And all those whopper sins that I used to do before are gone, off the table, completely forgiven. It's literally like a weight lifts off of you, right? But guess what happens after you become a Christian? If you stay obedient, and especially if you get, you know, a few years under your belt, the devil doesn't attack you with those whopper sins that you used to do anymore. He throws these little dinky darts at you. He wants the little dinky darts to go after the Christians because he only wants a toehold. Once he gets the toehold, he'll grab the foot. Once he gets the foot, he's got the leg. And once he's got the leg, he's got you. If you don't search the Scriptures daily, you'll be easily lured into heresy by the perverse elders. And they'll twist. I mean, this is one of the reasons we make some of the videos and the tracks that we make. Like, take Sabbath, for example. We show there's like 7 verses in the Bible that the Sunday-keeping pastors will declare, this proves Sunday is the Sabbath, when not one of them do that. In fact, none of them even mention the word Sunday, and none of them actually sanction Sunday as a holy day. And if you read the verses above and below the verses that they give, you'll find out, wait a second, that's not what the Bible said, what you just... And it's that easy. But that's an old tactic of Rome. I remember when I was a kid and I'm sitting in the pew at the Catholic Church and the priest would read something from the book of John, let's say, one verse, and then he'd bounce all the way over into 2 Peter and read one verse there. I says, whoa, man, what about all that stuff in between, you know? He would always, you know, take it out of context. Hold on a second. All right. Let me just hold on. This is a church service, Harold. And during church services, we already told you during a PM, if you've got questions, we will talk about these questions after church. All right, so please don't do that. Don't disrupt the Spirit as he's moving during a church service. That's all that we ask. Okay, thank you. All right, so continuing. If you don't search the Scriptures daily, you'll be easily lured into heresy by perverse elders. The word of, like I was talking about with the Sabbath thing. And no, we don't only preach the Sabbath, you know, because there's, I mean, if you go to the website at remedygod.org, Harold, or anybody else here that may have a question in that area, I've got over 11,000 pages on my website showing every antic of the Antichrist, showing how things are happening exactly as the prophecy said. Well, the only reason we bring up the Sabbath a lot, because that's the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament, all the way into the New, that that's the one that the devil was going to use in the last days to try to get the Christians off the path. In Daniel's day, he used commandment number 1 and 2. In Esther's day, he used commandment number 1 and 2 as well. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day, he used commandment number 2. Only. Now, in our day, if they were going to be used, like let's say if the one commandment that they said everybody in the world can break except you can keep all the other nine, if they said commandment number five is the one that you can break now, like, you know, dishonoring your parents, then that's the one we would focus on because that's the one he's attacking. He happens to be attacking commandment number four. That commandment actually has a prophetic statement in it. It's a one-word statement where it says, remember. Why would God put that in there? God is the one that's the only section in the entire 66 books of the Bible that was actually written by the finger of God. The rest was by the inspired men and women of God. But the Ten Commandments is the only part of the Bible that was actually written by God's own finger in stone. And he put the word remember before the fourth commandment. Because he knew, as the prophet Daniel said in Daniel chapter 7, that that's the prophecy, or that's the commandment that the whole world would be taught to forget. I mean, even the Catholic Church admits from Genesis to Revelation, there's not a single Bible verse that says the Sabbath should be changed. But Daniel 7:25 says the beast will think to change the law of God. And lo and behold, in the book of Revelation 13 says, the whole world wonders after the beast. And they're all doing it, just like the prophecy said. So that's the only reason, Harold, that we talk about the Sabbath every now and then, because the brothers and sisters that we want to be in the church with us, that we want to bring home, you know, to be family members with us in heaven. And some people say, well, it's a Jewish thing. No. The Jews were the first race, if you will, that kept the Ten Commandments for the longest period of time. But look in Genesis 26. Look what it says there. Abraham, before he even the Jews even were born, kept the Ten Commandments. And look in Psalm, 119, where it says that angels kept the Ten Commandments, and they were made even before mankind was created. So people that say it was a Jewish thing are lying. And no one kept Sunday until 321 A.D. when Constantine made it a law. That's almost 300 years after Jesus resurrected. But all the preachers, just like the prophecy said, are saying today that the Sabbath was changed on Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. But if that's the case, they should have been keeping Sunday back then. No one kept it until 321 A.D., though. But those kind of things are always hidden. And that's one of the reasons for the attacks on the Christian people, because the devil knows. He doesn't care if you keep the Ten Commandments. He doesn't even care if you believe in Jesus. He just doesn't want you to keep the commandments and believe in Jesus. That's where you're a threat, according to Revelation 14, verse 12. That's why he goes after us. That's why we get the death threats. So, again, if you don't search the scriptures daily, you're going to be easily lured into the heresy by the perverse elders that Paul's talking about. And the Word of God was written for the obedient bride. Every statement in the Word is for our benefit. So when we see such statements as this, we must understand it is truth, and we must act accordingly. I mean, truth is, brothers and sisters, we know it is the end. We know it's the end times. We don't know the day or the hour. We're not going to be like Harold Camping, who went to his grave as a proven false prophet, or Hal Lindsey, who says that the homosexual lifestyle would be gone in 1995, and Benny Hinn also said the same year. No, I think Hal Lindsey said something. Yeah, no, Hal Lindsey said the rapture would be in 95. Hinn said it would be the end of the homosexual race. But the prophecy said it would be like the days of Lot when Jesus comes back. That's why you got homosexual marriage now. But if you don't read the Bible, you don't see these things. And being as such, the prophecy also stated about the lips of our own Lord in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 16, beware of these false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Then he says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, you can't get grapes from a thorn bush, and you can't get figs from a thistle bush. You got to get them from a fig tree or a grapevine. So, and then he goes on and says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree is going to bring forth evil fruit. And this is one of the reasons he used the term, by their fruits you shall know them. In other words, to know them by the fruit is the major key here. And what I mean is this. Have you noticed how some are lured into the camp of, like, say, the SDA pastors like Doug Batchelor or Walter Veith or Dwight Nelson lately? These men are well rehearsed in the prophecies of old, and so they echo them with eloquence from their pulpits. Many are drawn to them because of the truth they bear, but they fail to investigate the fruits of these men closely to see why they are holding the truth in unrighteousness, just as Romans chapter 1, verse 18 predicted. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Any man could preach the prophecies of old by simply memorizing those that have been penned and the outlines that have been explained and the studies that were, out there by literally millions of Christians in the last 170 years alone. But do men like Batchelor or Veith or Nelson really have the spirit of prophecy that can only come with obedience, as the word dictates in both the Old and the New Testament over and over again? I mean, so with that said, do they really have the fruits of a good tree? Or are they bearing the fruit of a corrupt tree? Well, they appear to preach the Pope is the Antichrist. They appear to know that the seven-year trib is a lie, and they prepare to know that the Sabbath is still binding to this day. But then, so can any babe in Christ that has the ability to read Bible studies and do Bible studies on their own, they can do that too. But Batchelor, Veith, and Nelson do not bear the fruit of good trees. They have many issues of which I'll not get into here, other than to openly declare that they do not have an understanding of prophecy because of all the so-called elders in the SDA Church have a valid 501c3 tax-free ID number from the Lamb, Horn, Beast of Revelation, which is, of course, United States of America. That's according to... It even came up in the exact same year, 1776. In order to get the 501c3, you have to join your ministry with the state in which it resides, or incorporate, which in turn causes them to be those that prophecy plainly said would create an image of the Catholic Church, which is a church, Roman Catholic Church, as well as a state. Well, it's a country. Well, today they call it Vatican City, but it always used to just be called Rome. But now it's called Vatican City, but that Vatican City is a sovereign nation on its own. So it's a church and state, just like the prophet said in Revelation. It's a woman riding on a beast. A woman in prophecy says... Jeremiah 6:2 says it's a church. A beast in prophecy is a nation. I mean, even to this day we do that. I mean, America is the eagle. Russia is the bear. Japan is the dragon. And so every nation always has a beast that represents them. Well, just like every church has a woman. Jesus called his bride. He called the church his bride. I mean, so, but anyway... All the churches today have 501c3, which means all the churches have joined their churches with the state, just like Rome. So, the prophecy states that the elders, like Paul was saying here a minute ago, would come into the church and they would preach perverse things so as to lure the people of God into apostasy. And today, we see that all the elders, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, sad to say, but that was prophesied in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, and confirmed in Revelation 12, 17, when the dragon was angry with the woman, but he wasn't making war with her. He was making war with us, which the Bible calls the remnant of her seed. Because the majority of people that come into these church services now are ex-Seventh-day Adventists. We're remnants of her seed. That's why they're going after us. This is why we get the death threats and that. So, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.